Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. Right, this is a show for the average Joe, say, get a chance to opportunity to share his point of view. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, coronavirus disproportionately affecting Black Americans. The coronavirus is disproportionately affecting Black Americans. Blacks are at a higher risk of experiencing severe complications from contracting COVID-19. The death toll is alarming. First, I want to encourage everybody to continue to do the five. Hands, wash them often. Elbow. Cough into it. COVID-19 spreads through the droplets that, you know, come out, you know, when you cough or sneeze. So try to even sneeze into your elbow also, I guess, or a tissue or something. Face, don't touch it until after you wash your hands, because you know, I know you're going to eventually touch your face. Space. Keep a safe distance, 6 feet away from people if you can. Home. Stay home if you can. Observe the quarantine, the self-quarantine that I hope that most people are trying to, do. So, it's just Black people didn't have enough to be concerned about. You know, now we have reports that this virus is impacting on the Black community disproportionately, which is, as I stated earlier, very alarming, you know, and it makes you think. You know, and then we have the conspiracy they call so-called conspiracy theorists who might say that it's maybe that it's designed to do that. And everybody else is collateral damage, but I don't know. This is a pandemic. It's just related to us here. And that's a hell of a lot of collateral damage just to get rid of some Black folks. That's like wiping your nose off in spite of your face kind of like thing right there. Because I don't think the virus discriminates. In theory, if someone was able to make a virus or I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know what they do to viruses or what they could do to make it attack mostly black people. Make it, or maybe it's because the black people have, like as you'll see, we have underlying issues, and that makes us more, makes black people more susceptible to this virus. Maybe because we were already vulnerable, as they say, because it attacks vulnerable people. We have health problems and things like that. So maybe the health issues in the black community are a reason that you know, black people are being largely affected. But that doesn't explain why so many, why the percentage of people being affected is black, unless most of the black community has underlying health issues and things like that. Then I guess that would kind of like, in theory, be a reason why this virus might be killing a lot of black people, or black people might be getting infected by it. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, and I'm just having a conversation here about that, because I know I'm not really today doing anything about any theories about any mad scientists or anything like that. But I just wanted to say that because I didn't want to leave it out, try to cover many bases as I could. But it's a possibility somebody, you know, if it is, you know, that's my take on it, you know, my short take on it. You know, I didn't plan to even say that during the show. But that being said, excuse me, just choked on myself. Sorry about that. So anyway, from Yahoo Lifestyle, I said the coronavirus is disproportionately affecting all black Americans. So, you know, and it's eliciting calls for data. You know, like people are wondering, we should shoot. What the hell is going on? Like I said, here's what you need to know. Excuse me for 1 minute. I need a glass of water. My throat down a little bit. So anyway, they say the early data has suggested that black Americans are, as I said, disproportionately affected by this virus. They said during a press briefing at the White House, Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, said about the growing concern surrounding racial disparities and deaths from COVID-19. He said, we'll get over coronavirus, but there will still be health disparities, which we really do need to address in the African-American community. So without COVID-19, there are health disparities in the African American community, which they're saying that contributes to this outcome. He's not the first person to express that. They say, let me see, individuals and organizations have publicly requested that states release the statistics that show which communities are being hit the hardest by COVID-19. That's a very interesting statistic right there. Because I personally never looked at it as something that was attacking on black folks more. Seems there's a lot of that going on. Anyway, the New York Times journalist Charles M. Blow is one of them. He said he called encouraged listeners and citizens to demand the release of race-specific COVID-19 data for New York City. His request prompted a quick response, allowing him to post the racial demographics on Twitter shortly after. Lawmakers getting into the swing of trying to find out what's happening with that. Let me see what this Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She tweeted, COVID deaths are disproportionately spiking in black and brown communities, right? And called for coronavirus legislation to consider reparations. Very interesting right there. Inequality is a comorbidity. So said COVID, I believe, should be drafted with a lens of reparations, she wrote. The Bronx native went to explain in another tweet why. Because the chronic toll of redlining, environmental racism, wealth gap, etc., are underlining health conditions. Okay, so that means that the oppression of these people, black and brown, contribute to their, has an impact on it, how this virus is affecting them. And it has an impact, even without the virus, it has an impact on their health. But this is bringing it more to light, this virus. So they said finally they got a statement signed by 400 medical professionals. The Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law issued a demand letter to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, right? And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, right? That's the CDC. And calling for a release of the racial and ethnic demographic data related to COVID-19 testing, causes, and patient outcomes. So I'm just going to go back to what this young lady, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, was referring to. Because of the chronic toll of redlining, which is another form of racism when it comes to real estate, environmental racism, that means that, say that I live in the city, I live in West North Philly, they allow industry to be placed near the community that is harmful to the people in that community. Where if you lived out somewhere else, in a county somewhere, it would probably never happen. So the wealth gap, well, you know, if you don't have enough money to take care of certain things, then you tend to do, you're going to do less with less money, right? So if you don't have money for health care and proper health care and, you know, things like that. So there are underlining health conditions, right? So that's the comorbidity, these things that are basically racism and oppression of these groups of people, black and brown people in this country. So basically they are getting the short end of the stick. Already, they're already a vulnerable population, and so that makes them more vulnerable to COVID. It appears to have made them that way. So, so they're advocating for more transparency with this whole thing about, you know, the ethnic groups and you know, racial backgrounds of people who are being affected and who are, you know, dying. So. They say the black communities are being impacted disproportionately. African Americans in some parts of the country are becoming infected and dying from COVID-19 at higher rates than their white counterparts. So you gotta wonder, like, what is that? What is that all about? How's that happening? That white folks, the rate is different for white folks than it is for black folks. You know, then you got, you know, that makes, that goes back to this, the conspiracy theory. You know, as I said, that's a hell of a thing to do if somebody, you know, is doing that. Or, you know, that's like some mad scientist stuff out there, you know, those little crazy cartoons and movies and stuff, like, you know, because this is a pandemic. This is just not happening here in the United States. So it makes you wonder, because you can almost read into that, well, hey, that's, it's killing most, they're trying to get rid of the black folks. Well, it's a lot of white folks dying too. Well, they're mostly killing black, but it's mostly having an impact on black folks. And, you know, I said Illinois, African Americans make up 14.6% of the population, but 29.4% of the confirmed cases, this is people who have it, and 41.2% of the death. So you 14% of the population, but of the people who died from COVID, you almost half of them in Illinois. So why is that happening? As you know, young ladies are just talking about the comorbidity, the racism, the oppression, the poverty, things like that, right? Furthermore, Michigan, black people are 14% of that population, but they make up 34% of the COVID-19 cases. Now, I had, and about 40% of the deaths. So that's almost half there. I had a friend say something to me one time. He said, anytime you see something and it's a pattern, it's no accident. I'm just putting that out there. You know, I know this thing is a pandemic, but it's crazy that even in the pandemic, you know, black folks getting shorter the skin, black and brown folks. What's up with that? How is that happening? I mean, is our diet that much different than the diet of a Caucasian Americans, that you know, we have this high blood pressure, you know, kidney disease, and you know, things like that, renal failure and stuff like that? Like, what is it that's happening here? That this is happening to us at disproportionately. Not that we wish it on other people or anything like that. We're not wishing it, you know, it's not that. It's just that, you know, why? You know, because you got us. That's a little weird right there. Those numbers are very close. And that's Illinois, and that's one's Michigan. It said ProPublica reported that in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, where the population is 26% black, Africans or Americans comprise of almost half of the county's 941 cases and 81% of its 27 deaths. That's one of those things that make you say, as Arsenio Hall used to say, you know, it's like, wow, hold up. How is that happening the same way everywhere? If anybody's listening, have an answer to that, feel free. Call up conspiracy theory, medical issue, comorbidity, anything that you'd like to add to that, because personally, like, you know, that's kind of scary. So experts say data coming out of these states is likely indicative of the disproportionate impact COVID-19 is having on marginalized communities throughout the entire country. That's right. So that's the most vulnerable communities, the poorest, right? Poorest communities. I wonder how poor white community, what impact is having on poor white community. That's interesting right there. anyway, so as again, you know, it's just comorbidity, the comorbidity that's attribute that we can attribute this to, which is goes back to the racism, depression, the lack of support that these communities get. That contribute to their how this COVID-19 is impacting on the health of the people in this community. Oh, we have a call on. Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Rock of the Thought.
Can you hear me?
Welcome.
Yeah. I just heard that they were saying that it depends on people's health. As they receive, or you know, the condition of their bodies and stuff like that, such as like put them at risk.
Chronic illness.
Right.
So okay.
And, a lot of black people have a lot of conditions
chronic
that
illness.
Yeah, chronic illnesses.
So. Why do black
asthma and obesity?
Why is that? I mean, that right there in itself is something that need to be dealt with. And you know, why do is there a lot of, like, I know this in the community, it's a lot of dialysis. You got the
what's
the places where they sell the liquor, the little stores. You got them. The places that they turn into, like, you know, the people sell beer in them now. You know, where they used to be bars a long time ago.
Stop and go
or whatever. You can go get a beer. They all over the place. You got bars. You got those things. You got the poppy stores. And you got dialysis. And dialysis is, you know, that's not like. You know, it seems like that's something. Oh, you go to the hospital, you're sick. But now that's in the community. That right there is saying something about the community. Also, that they put a dialysis, so many dialysis centers up. You know, and like we all know we should eat to live instead of live to eat. Living to eat is almost like living to die, destroying yourself. And I guess enjoying yourself while you do it. You know. If that's part of the, like they're saying that's part of the morbidity of that contributes to the black people dying. That contributes to blacks dying anyway. That's saying that they're dying. This population is sick, and they're unable to defend themselves against this virus because many in this population are sick. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Just using the dialysis thing as an example, and whether it speaks to, even if there's no COVID, there's a problem in the black community that needs to be dealt with. You know,
right?
And you know, I remember you know, not to say talk bad about these stores, but I remember people were saying that a lot of things that is in some of the stores are very have a lot of salt in them and things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of, you know, and it's a lot of, you know, and then that contributes to, like, you know, poor health and things like that. A lot of candy being sold, you know, and things like that. So, you know, some of that, you know, is, I think we need to educate ourselves. We don't have to wait for somebody to educate us. You know what I'm saying? You know, we need to start using our brains. Start helping each other, educating each other. That's something we could do in the community. You know? I mean, we do a lot of talking in the community, you know what I'm saying? Talking about a whole lot of stuff. You know, so why can't we talk about something that's going to help us live and help us change whatever lifestyle some of us are have become accustomed to? And I know that food can be an addiction also, and it can be very difficult to help people to start eating more healthy. But but I think we all need to do that and apparently they give you a better chance at survival, especially when something like COVID comes into the picture. You know what I'm saying? Because with diabetes, what you get? Kidney failure. Could be your heart. It impacts on your heart, right? So that's a lot. You know, just by itself. Anybody want to call the show, I just want to remind you to call at 516-531-9540. All right? I can't answer any calls on my phone right now because I'm live. Back to what I was saying. I don't know. You know, I guess it wasn't a red flag for the community when these dialysis places were established in the community. Not that they don't need them, because I mean it's convenient, right? But the fact that I don't know. I didn't hear anybody talking about what's going on with all these dialysis, in the community, and what are we doing that we ended up there? You know what I'm saying? Not even that we ended up there, that ended up there in the community. You know what I'm saying? Because they haven't been there growing up. You never saw them. Right? So, it's just, that's part of the comorbidity that's contributed to the, I guess that would contribute to anybody's death, but I'm assuming that we have, in the black community, a lot of it. We have more of it, which is, it's an alarm for us, for black folks, black and brown folks, to wake up, because there's some things that we can do better. You know what I'm saying? We can stop poisoning ourselves as much as possible. We can get more involved in government and city planning and things like that. Find out what's going on, who's doing what, and what kind of impact it would have on a community. Anyway, they said the federal government has since it. Acknowledge this, though. Do some hollering. To me, that said that the federal government wasn't concerned about that or wasn't sharing that information for what? Right? Anyway, they said Trump raised the topic of racial disparities in regarding the coronavirus death, calling it a real problem. Okay, so he passed the conversation along to Fauci, who compared the coronavirus outbreaks to a disproportionate death toll among black Americans. Check this out. When we had the HIV/AIDS epidemic. See, you know what I'm saying? See, this all makes me think back to when a friend of mine said to me, like, if it repeats itself, you see something, a pattern repeating itself, is not an accident. You know what I'm saying? Q, you still there? No, anyway. So, that's just eerie right there to me. And I see a similarity.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I'm still here.
So he sees a similarity.
I didn't want any background noise to get in, get into the podcast.
Oh, all right. Right. So, did you hear what I said about that? That they said that he saw this Fauci, Mr. Fauci saw similarities between this coronavirus and the impact HIV and AIDS had on the black community, which impacted on a lot of black people. And as you know, HIV, you can catch that through sexual exchange, body fluids, through sex. And using needles, basically. Right. A blood transfusion, if that unfortunate enough to get a blood transfusion for somebody who has that butt, you know. Again, we have another epidemic, right, that's largely affecting black folk and brown folk. It's one of those things, again, it makes you go, So, he said, there have always been health disparities in the black community. And again, with the crisis, how it's a shining bright light on how unacceptable that it's become. It's because, yet again, you have a situation like the coronavirus, and the black community is suffering disproportionately. So basically, the health of the people in the black community is being impacted upon by racism in this country, and that's systemic racism, and just not being treated right, not being getting the services that they need, you know. So it said racism and bias in the healthcare system may be fueling it. Racism and bias in the healthcare system may be fueling, you know, these deaths. That's crazy. So Fauci's FAUCI, right, press conference, he quoted and he said and agreed with Deborah Burix, B-I-R-X, response coordinator for the White House Coronavirus Task Force. They said it's less about how many black Americans have coronavirus and more about how they're responding. It's not that African Americans are getting infected more often. It's that when they do get infected, their underlying medical, that's the comorbidity, medical conditions, diabetes, hypertension, obesity, asthma, those are the kind of things that wind them up in the ICU and ultimately give them a higher death rate. So basically, this thing is saying, as they did say this about the coronavirus, if you have any chronic illnesses, it's going to have a more serious impact on you. And basically what they're saying is that, okay, there's a lot of chronic illness in the black and brown community, therefore they're going to have a higher rate of death. Now, that makes sense. The death rate, okay, I get that part. But how come so many of them get it? You know what I'm saying? How come it's a disproportionate enough amount of black folks catching it? You know what I'm saying? So I get the whole... Why they? If you have a lot of sick people in your community, all right, I understand that. Then you're gonna have a problem when you get the coronavirus comes around, right? So, get that part. It's gonna be a little bit more intense for you. I know these diabetes, these dialysis places, they all over, you know. So. So let's say Christine Clark, president of and executive director of Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, said, "We are deeply concerned that African American communities are being hardest hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, and the racial bias may be access they receive to testing and health care." You hear that? So basically saying they ain't trying to help no black folks. They get second class, third class, fourth class, no class citizenship respect when they try to get some help. So you might get a no, we ain't going to test you. You might get a run around or something like that if you're black. So that right there is crazy. And what's the guy's name? Mr. Charles Drew. Was it Drew? He created the created the blood transfusion method, and he was in an accident. Took him to a white hospital. They said they refused to service him there, right? He died, right, as a result of that. And he's the man that made it possible for white folks who get in accidents that need blood transfusion to get a blood transfusion, and if they're lucky, to survive that accident, that loss of blood. Mm-hmm. But when he needed it, he couldn't get it. So, you know, we still living in that world, and no matter how you tell the story, you cannot leave it out, because these folks right here are saying it. I'm not saying it. I didn't make this up. You know, and they're talking about racial biases in this country right now. So during this epidemic, black folks get the short end of the stick. Come on. Now, who can we trust? We can't trust. You can't trust when you can't trust a person that you're going to help for, especially to save or preserve your life, you in the belly of the beast. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you're going to a person. You know what I mean? You can't. How can you live like that? Anyway, the committee expanded on the concept. To the letters to the CDC and the HHS, which is somebody just sent me something through the text. You guys want to communicate with me, you need to call the show. I cannot respond to text. I'm live. So if you want to have something to say, say it on the show, please. Call in at 516-531-9540. Again, call in at 516-531-9540. I cannot respond to a text. Anyway, they said systemic racism and bias in the healthcare system have resulted in chronically poor health outcomes for black Americans, including higher rates of asthma, high blood pressure, heart disease, and diabetes. Okay, asthma is breathing air, high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, that's your diet impacted on these things for far as I know, those are all things are related to diet. Now, you can get heart disease from somewhere, other different types of heart disease, but in terms of the black community, I'm going to say that these things in the black community is probably coming from diet. They said these comorbidities render black Americans more susceptible to severe respiratory complications and death resulting from COVID-19. All right? So what that means is that, you know, as they said, you have asthma, any kind of chronic lung disease, you're at risk to severe respiratory complications, which COVID is already a respiratory complication in itself. So just imagine if you have two respiratory complications, and you can only treat one, but both of them are severe. Respiratory situation impacting on the other respiratory situation, causing that situation. You know, so that's like a death sentence. They said inclusive testing practices would help ensure that symptomatic people receive timely care and treatment, and asymptomatic carriers do not continue to transmit COVID-19 to other vulnerable members of their communities. Because as we previously said, not everyone gets sick mildly or severely. Some people have no symptoms, but they're what they call carriers, right? So that's it. Basically, we need more testing. And I don't see what's the hold up with this testing thing, because I think this thing, it was started in December in China. I think they let the cat out of the bag in January, and we're in April. Excuse me, I'm drinking some water. They say lack of access to testing may also be a contributing factor. You think? Let me see, this is Dr. Black's MD in New York, emergency physician and co-founder of Advancing Health Equity. Expanded on that. He said he's seen in his exam rooms mostly black and brown patients who are essential workers. Very important right here. So where's most of your population at? We have seen in his exam rooms, right, mostly black and brown patients who are essential workers and service workers who cannot afford to stay home, right? Essential worker, you can't stay home because you got to work. If you stay home, you can lose your job or without having the time to stay home. These are the ones that he sees presenting in the clinic with COVID-19 symptoms. Okay, so essential workers are at high risk. Those are the people who the employer says, you have to work because we need you. You say you're essential to something functioning, whatever thing it is you do, police, firemen, welfare workers, things like that, social workers, DHS, the other DHS, the Child Protective Services, and things like that. So, right, prison guards, and you know, they're essential workers. So, I guess apparently there must be a lot of black and brown gas station attendants. Must be a lot of black and brown people in these positions. At least in New York. So,
that tells me the cashiers and stuff.
Well, yeah, supermarket clerks, right? They're still working. They're still working. They're still getting it in. Right. I saw a story about a girl. So I think she was 27 years old, 27 or something. She continued to work in the supermarket to help out. Thought it was her duty to help out, do what she could do. And when she got sick, her mom took her to the hospital. Said the girl got out of the car, fell out, dropped to the ground. She died. And she had underlying issues also. Yeah. Young girl. She was all black. You know, so we need to take care of our essential workers. Do your employers show that you care about the essential workers, to do what you need to do to help them stay safe. Because if you're not doing that, then you're helping the virus spread. You agree with that, Brolo? Yeah, so essential workers, do the right thing by your employees that you're asking to continue to work. Don't ask them to continue work at risk. And you're not doing it, anything to help them survive. Know who your workers are. Know what kind of conditions, health conditions they have also. That's going to help you deal with them as individuals, because it's very important. Because apparently there's a lot of health issues in the black and brown community. That should be something that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
A sick essential worker is no good to anybody, nor is a dead one. All right. So, they said they have data already that shows that black patients are likely to receive worse care from the minority-serving hospitals in their areas that are ill-equipped for dealing with the COVID-19. This crazy. This sounds like back in the 1900s, the early 1900s, 1800s, right? They have data. Ain't that something? That show that black patients are likely to receive worse care in the hospitals in their areas. Ain't that something? So you run in and get some help, and you're not gonna get. I hope that's something that ain't true. I'm just gonna say that. That's what I'm hoping. I guess it could be a couple of people and they don't care about you anywhere that you go. But I hope that right there is an overstatement, because that's like I said, like you're going somewhere for help to save your life, and somebody's gonna do something to put your life in more peril. That's not right. You're going to the beast, in the belly of the beast, for help. Anyway, they say only 20% of black workers in the county are able to work from home. So that leaves 80% of black workers, right, at risk. That's what that means, right? Because they're not able to observe the quarantine. So if only 20% of black workers are able to work from home, that means 80% of black workers are at risk. Because anybody that's not been quarantined is at a risk, a higher risk. And depending on what kind of job you had, you even at a higher risk. So this thing's got levels depending on what you do and what your situation looks like, where you do it, how the spacing is of the cleaning, who's sick, who's been tested, who's not been tested. You know, I personally think that if you have essential workers, you should be testing them. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't wait till somebody comes up with COVID-19. If you are saying that they have to come to work, then you need to see if they have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Do something. You know, I read somewhere where they suggested that you take temperatures. They got something that you take a temperature without touching somebody or something. You know, do that. You know, if you're sick, don't come to work. Different things like that. Gloves, masks. The employers provide masks, gloves, and wipes, and cleaning the office frequently, the doorknobs and, you know, bathrooms and things like that. So that's very, very important. Especially your bathroom, you know, like, man, very vulnerable going in the bathroom. You gotta touch the door, you gotta touch the toilet stall, you know, so much stuff in there. You gotta wash your hands, you know. Anybody knows you gotta wash. So anyway, well, that's, you know, that just sounds like nothing's changed. Which nothing has changed. Some things have changed, but some things have remained the same. And it's not me saying this. This is these guys saying this. You know, I'm not making this stuff up. Compared to roughly 1/3 of their white counterparts. So 20% of black workers are able to work from home compared to 1/3 of whites. The African American community face a higher degree of risk and exposure, as I just said. Private COVID-19 testing is cost prohibitive, making it very difficult for low income communities and particularly people of color to get tested. And I just think that's weird right there. We're in a pandemic. We're experiencing something that'll kill us all. Can impact on, well, apparently it's not going to kill us all, so I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to hype this thing up any more than it's been hyped up. But something that could infect a lot of people. But we won't do anything unless we get paid. You know, you don't want to know if somebody has that unless they're going to pay you. that's weird. That's another weird thing right there. It's like, at some point, we have to learn to help each other, and money cannot be a weight around our neck. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if people need to be tested, we need to get those things, and we need to get people tested as soon as possible. This is crazy. They say not enough states are making data available to the public. So, although racial demographics are typically released through the health crisis, during the health crisis, the CDC, Center for Disease and Control, not currently publicly reporting racial or ethnic demographic data for COVID-19 cases. Ain't that something? That's like I said, some things change and some things never change. You know? So the only thing changed, I guess, is that people are allowed to do things in public now that they weren't allowed to do a long time ago, wasn't accepted a long time ago. But now I guess you ain't going to get lynched for walking down the street with a white girl now, you know, stuff like that. And you can look at them and I guess nobody's going to throw a rope over a tree, you know, drag you out of your people's house and beat you to death, and things like that for that. You know, some things have changed, some things have not changed. Apparently, this whole thing about not giving black people or what they deserve equal or appropriate treatment. Because I don't know about equal treatment, appropriate treatment. You can't treat people equally in the hospital, but you can treat them appropriately. So, you know, I don't know. We have a come a long way, and we got a long, long way to go. And this is just showing you that this beast, this snake, is not going anywhere. It's here, and sad. You know, it's supposed to be the melting pot. I don't know how it got to be the melting pot either, because we didn't melt into the pot. We was thrown in the pot. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't even come here to melt. You know, we was thrown in the pot. In the fire, really. We wasn't even in the pot. They said the CDC is trying to correct this, requesting the critical information from health departments through the COVID-19 case report form. So the CDC is trying to correct that. Transparency is critical to ensuring equal access to health care. Okay. Equal access to health care is a civil rights issue. And during this COVID-19 pandemic, the public deserves nothing less than full transparency from this administration and state public health officials. To fully confront this pandemic, we must ensure that communities of color receive equitable health care and treatment during this crisis. How do we do that? How do you make sure, who's going to monitor somebody that's just giving somebody some poor information or some not treating somebody right, not doing the thing they're supposed to do on a job? This is a lot of that going on jobs, period. Comprehensive and publicly available racial data is a necessary weapon to fight to confront COVID-19. All right, so it says the importance of being able to collect the racial, ethnic, demographic data in this pandemic is that we will be able to see which groups are going to be most harshly affected. And we already have preliminary data on that to know in order to allocate health care resources most equitably. Okay. Man. So, for the last coronavirus news update, they said they have follow along https://news.yahoo.com/coronavirus. According to experts, people over 60 and those who are immunocompromised, that your immune system is weak, is not functioning as well, continue to be the most at risk. Now, I heard someone say that after 60, the immune system of people is not as strong as it was. Well, you know it's not going to be strong as it was. Nothing is as strong as it was in your youth, your good youth, if you had a good youth, okay? But I said at 60 or so, that's when your immune system starts to just not be working as good. So like the transmission and things starts to wear, it's not doing as well as it was. All right? So it, you know, they say if you have any questions, call the CDC or the world questions, please reference the CDC and the World Health Organization's guidelines. So you can Google that. What do you do if you're unable to be diagnosed? The Huff Post had reported, due to the test kit shortage in the U.S., people who show mild symptoms but haven't been in contact with confirmed COVID-19 patients or visited high-risk areas may not be able to get diagnosis, okay? I'm going to read that again. Test kit, COVID-19 test kit shortages in the U.S. People who show mild symptoms but haven't been in contact with confirmed COVID-19 patients or visited high-risk areas may not be able to get a diagnosis. Now, last time I heard in New York, if you live in New York, that's a high-risk area. Philadelphia is a high-risk area also. So I don't know about that. So, but they don't have enough kits, so there's nothing you can do about that. They're saying basically people that have the symptoms, they want to get them off the street and get them in quarantine. And people who have these symptoms, they're not worried about mild symptoms, because I guess if you have mild symptoms, they don't develop to be severe symptoms. I don't know. They need to explain that in even more, because do mild symptoms develop to severe symptoms, or are mild symptoms just all? I got it. I got a little cough, a little cold. 2 weeks, 3 weeks is gone. Is that what happens with that? You know. So anyway, not enough kits. That's why everybody can't get tested. I said, but it's still important to stay home if you aren't feeling well, to help reduce the spread of illness. And that's interesting, because how does an essential worker stay home if they're not feeling well, even though they can't get tested? So they can't say they have COVID-19 and they're not feeling well. You go to work, you're sneezing, I got my allergies kicking in, coughing, I got a cold. How does that fit into this whole picture? Because that becomes more complex. So I guess you get your doctor to write you a doctor's note, you stay out. You know, but they're suggesting that if you ain't feeling well, stay home. If you suspect that you have COVID-19, please do not go to work, they say, school, or out in the public places until you are directed to do so by a healthcare provider. Mild COVID-19, just like other colds you have experienced, will typically resolve on its own by taking care of your health. So, I don't. If you have mild COVID-19, which I don't know how you're gonna know you had that or not. You know. Like, and as I said, does mild mean you won't develop severe symptoms? So anyway, they said they're not worried about the mild symptoms, the mild COVID-19. But how do you know if you have mild COVID-19 if you can't get tested? Because they don't have enough kits. You know what I'm saying? So that's a catch-22 right there. They said, but basically they're saying, oh, treat your symptoms. If you have it and if you can't get tested and you have symptoms, treat your symptoms. Treat your runny nose, your congestion, and your fever. I think Tylenol they recommend for fever. They advise people who are exhibiting mild symptoms to get plenty of rest, stay hydrated, drink plenty of water, and to remain isolated from others. If you can take over-the-counter cold remedies to treat your symptoms, such as acetaminophen, that's Tylenol, right, for fevers and headaches, and cough medications, to alleviate coughing. What's that? Robitussin. They got Robitussin with alcohol, and they got it without alcohol. Okay, she said, treat your symptoms, right? I said, since this illness is due to a virus, antibiotics are not effective, y'all. Okay, so antibiotics not going to really beat this virus up. Stay in touch with your doctor about changes in your symptoms and when it's all right to return to your usual activities. So, they say doctors aren't certain about how long patients infected with coronavirus are contagious, but one study suggests that those with mild cases are probably not infectious by about 10 days after they first experienced symptoms. Pending more conclusive research, however, it's best to exercise caution and stay in touch with your doctor. Okay? Avoiding high-risk places. Right? So you don't have to go to the hospital, emergency room, don't go there. Right? You don't have to go to the hospital, don't go there. You don't go to parties, shows, movies. Any type of gathering, we have a bunch of people gathering. Washing hands, disinfecting surfaces, keeping a safe distance between people, not touching your face, and coughing or sneezing into your elbow instead of hands are all measures everyone can take to help slow the rate of infection, all right? Okay. Even if you aren't experiencing symptoms, take care of yourself. Taking care of yourself is one of the most selfless things you can do in time of a pandemic. All right? So that's whether everybody's doing the same thing, sick or not, basically what she's saying. Everybody should be doing the same thing. Treating your symptoms if you have them, washing, just keeping everything clean around you and things like that. So if everyone with a sore throat goes to the hospital, resources will be used unnecessarily. Said Jake Douche, a physician specializing in emergency medicine and co-founder of Specialty Infusion. Statistically speaking, most people won't need an intensive care level of treatment. Most people that get COVID-19 are not severe, he's saying, right? So make sure those resources are available for people who clearly are more at risk. So that's the people with those chronic illnesses, the elderly, those guys, right? So if you don't have underlying medical conditions, they recommend staying home until you're not sick. Judge your symptoms and put them in the context of your medical problem. If you got a cold, you don't have no fever, you can't breathe, you're asthmatic, you don't have a fever, you might not have COVID, but you're still going to quarantine yourself, right? Ultimately, it's important to follow guidelines from the public health leaders like the World Health Organization and Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The best treatment we can provide is making sure people have correct information and can process everything. That's from Dr. Douche. From the New York Times by Ben Elgon, Audra D. S. Birch, Donnie C. Searcy, and Richard Opal Jr. They said the coronavirus is affecting and killing black people in the United States at disproportionately high rates, according to data released by several states and big cities. Highlighting what public health, what public health researchers, qualities and resources, health and access to care. Okay. I said, African Americans account for more than half of those who have tested positive, and 72% of virus-related fatalities in Chicago. I think what I say, 14% of the population in Chicago. This is even higher. Even though they make up less than a third of the population. Illinois, dated April the 8th anyway. 43% of the people who have died from the disease and 28% of those who have tested positive are African Americans. So that goes back to my question again. Is it something African Americans are doing that they're getting infected, or is this disease just attracted like a magnet, you know, attracted, like what's going on? Why so many get infected? That's my big question. Because I can understand underlying illnesses being an issue. And we know those issues are in impoverished, highly impoverished communities and things like that. That makes a lot of sense because that could be a black or white person. But then you take that same individual going to trying to get some help, and that black person not getting the right information or the right help, then he's at a high or she's at a higher risk of dying from the coronavirus and spreading. Where, like, if you're going to treat a white person, you're going to give them exactly what they need, make sure they get the care they need. That's that old 18, 17, what's that? Since we've been over here, kind of like thing. You know, like, yo, come on. It's like, it's amazing that this beast is rearing its head during this pandemic. Anyway, they said African Americans makes up just 15% of the state population in Illinois. 43% of the people who have died. I'm corrected. Correction. So the death rate is high for African Americans. 28% of those who have tested positive. And they're 15% of the population. African Americans account for a third of the positive tests in Michigan. They represent 40% of the deaths. The same thing. We just talked about that. Even though they make up 14% of the population. And, you know, this is something that's occurring over and over again. The same kind of way. It's got to make you think something. I can see why the conspiracy theorists, you know, come up with these theories about this here. Because this thing just looks, it's not a good look. They said in Louisiana, about 70% of the people who have died are black. The blacks make up a third of that population. 70%, that's over 2/3 of the population. Almost. Let me see. North Carolina and South Carolina also reported a ratio of black residents who have tested positive for CV-19 well exceeds the general population So North Carolina and South Carolina are reporting discrepancies in who have tested positive for this disease. Black people are overrepresented among those infected in Las Vegas. In Minnesota, black people have been infected with the coronavirus at rates roughly proportionate to their percentage and the state's population. That's interesting. I thought that was interesting right there, because not that that's a good thing, but they said they have been infected with the coronavirus at rates roughly proportionate to their percentage of the state's population. For many public health experts, the reasons behind the disparities are not difficult to explain. The result of long-standing structural inequalities. All right, so we were set up, right, take this fall due to all this racism in this country. That continues, sadly. Like, when will it end? I mean, you can not like black and brown people, but that don't mean you have to, you don't have to kill them. You don't have to hurt them, injure them because you don't like somebody. You still can respect them. Anyway. Black Americans are disproportionately belong to a part of the workforce. So that means if you're part of the essential part of the workforce, right, you're going to be at risk, at a greater risk, because you're not able to quarantine yourself. Hopefully, essential workers will, employees will allow them, provide them with a system that will allow them to remain at home and work from home. Places them at high risk for contracting the highly infectious disease in transit or at work, right? So you're not safe. You know, police officers are interacting with everybody in the city. People who don't have cars, they have to take the bus to work. Or the train, whatever. Long-standing inequalities also make African Americans less likely to be insured. And you have money to take care of this health care, this health situation. And more likely to have existing health conditions and face racial bias that prevents them from getting proper treatment. Ain't that something? That is a shame. You know, this is just a... Wow, how many people going? How many people of color, when you go see a doctor or a hospital or emergency room, you wondering if these white folks is going to treat you right? Hell, even if some black folks in there is going to treat you right. These, you know what I'm saying, Asians or whoever is in there. How many people are wondering, you know, have that on their mind when you go to the hospital? I know I've been to the emergency room a couple of times. They knew my name in there. We shouldn't have to have that in the background of, you know, you trying to get some help. That shouldn't be there. Initial indications are that doctors are less likely to refer African Americans for testing. Ain't that something? Just because you're black. When they visit a clinic with symptoms, the disease caused of COVID-19, since the disease can progress quickly, researchers say a disparity in testing can lead to considerably worse outcomes. So if you go there, I'm sick, right? You got some symptoms, and they tell you, they turn you away, your disease can progress, and you could die. You could reach a point of suffering or death, which could have been prevented, maybe. I don't know. But if you got the help, I'm guessing if you get the help sooner, that's better for you. I don't know if that's how it go or not. But they said it could lead to considerably worse outcomes. So just keep that in mind. A lack of early communication about the threat of COVID-19 and confusing messages that follow the report of this virus left an information vacuum in some black communities that allowed false rumors to grow about black people being immune from the disease. Now, I didn't hear that one originally. Anyway, I heard it eventually, but come on. Immune from the disease. So, is it somebody put a rumor out, said that black people were immune from the disease, and I'm taking that they're saying that they didn't take this thing seriously. Which is sad, because you we live in the age of the computer age, and you can Google this thing up yourself. You can do your own work. Get off that cell phone, or get on that cell phone and use it like the computer that it is, to, and get some real information. You know, because you don't have to listen to rumors. You know, you could call your doctor or the hospital. You can call somebody, you know, about that. You can check it. Fact check. All right? You know, and I heard somebody
I was going to say, that reminds me what somebody very smart told me about that last pandemic, like over 100 years ago, how they said the same thing about it not affecting black people.
Oh, HIV/AIDS?
No, 100 years ago with that big thing back in 1918.
Oh, 100 years ago?
Yeah.
What was that? The flu?
Yeah. And they said they recruited black people to help, you know, like in the hospitals and the morgues and all that kind of stuff like that, digging graves and all that kind of stuff, because they were immune. They recruited black
more
people.
More racism.
So you know what happened to those people, right?
Yeah, they dug their own graves.
Right.
Wow, that is sad. Which I guess when we get some time, if we survive this, hope, God willing, we survive CB19, we could talk about that. We can get back on the topic of racism, because we need to. And what the black community is going to do for itself. And maybe you need to start with identifying and behaving like a community. You know what I'm saying? Not just like people living in the same area. Maybe black folks need to start meeting up after this and start talking about, you know, what can we do, you know, amidst all of this, you know, continued, you know, racism. You know, how can we start with treating yourself better? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Sherelle Barber, Assistant Research Professor of Epidemiology and Biostatistics at Drexel University, said the effects of government redlining policy that began in the 1930s linger. Black residents live in segregated neighborhoods that lack job opportunities, stable housing, grocery stores with healthy food, and more. See, that healthy food, that's going to contribute to your diabetes, your high blood pressure, and things like that. You understand? So, I mean, anybody walking around, I see little kids with phones. And you can learn, educate yourself if you want to. There's some things you can just find out about and do better. They say high levels of segregation in large urban counties lower the life expectancies of African-American residents, but have little effect on the life expectancies of white residents, according to an analyst from the County Health Rankings by the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Before the pandemic hit, officials had calculated the white Chicagoans had an average life expectancy of 8.8 years longer than the black residents. Well, that's different now, as you can see. Most of the black people are amongst the dead. a disproportionate amount of them are amongst the dead. Hopefully this thing is, you know, ends sometime soon. Anyway, I say these communities are structurally, they're a breeding ground for the transmission of the disease. All right? That's the hood, y'all. Right? All these close houses and everybody living in the same place, crowding up, all crowded together. All said, Dr. Barber said, it's not biological. It's really these existing structural inequalities that are going to shape the racial inequalities in this pandemic. So our environment, our physical environment is a breeding ground for the transmission of this disease, and I guess any disease that's living that close. So, but the guy, they said, tell the story about this guy, Mr. Talbert, with 54, he drove a Detroit bus, 24 years, became the president of the Amalgamated Transit Union. They said work kept him from staying home as the virus spread. He had to work. Although, March, Mr. Talbert said he proceeded with his responsibilities of checking on the well-being of the drivers, you know, doing his job, right? On April 2nd, Mr. Talbert was coughing so much during a meeting that the mayor of Detroit suggested that he get tested. He was one of the first people in the city to take a rapid test and got his results back in 15 minutes. Because I'm hearing the results back take about 4 days. That's the quickest I've ever heard. So he got his in 15 minutes. USA Today saying the same thing. I'm not making this up. Black people dying from coronavirus at much higher rates in cities across the USA. So black people, most of the black population is located in the large cities or not so large cities. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, New York, Los Angeles, Detroit, Chicago, Dallas. So anyway, they say of the 512 coronavirus CV-19 related deaths in Louisiana, about 360 or 70% were African American. They're saying that they got the same kind of statistic. In Illinois, they talked about there were 13,549 CV-19 cases, and 380 deaths, according to the state's Department of Public Health. Of the confirmed cases, 28% were black, 27% were white, 10% Hispanic, 3.3% Asian, and 25.7% were unknown. Of the deaths, 42.9% were black, 36.1% white, 8.4% Hispanic, 6.8% unknown, and 3.7% Asian. Roughly 15% of the state's population is black, while whites make up 77% of the state, according to the census. Something wrong with that picture. Talked about Michigan. These are saying the kind of numbers I was talking about previously. So we only have 3 more minutes left. So you get the picture. Is this thing right here. Something systemically has impacted on the lives of black people, and this COVID-19 has shed more light on that. So, and we need to start meeting up in our communities after this is over and start talking about our survival in more than one way, because we were dying at an alarming rate before COVID-19 got loose. So COVID is just the most recent thing, you know, that has come. Racism has been here since we've been here, since the Europeans came here and enslaved and oppressed people of color. It's always been here, racism. You know, and I'm not saying it. I guess some white folks got oppressed too. I think Italians had a hard time also, but their skin being a little lighter than ours, hair being a little straighter, they don't get such a hard time as we get. So I wonder how that went anyway. That's, I guess that's another show, because I wonder if they lynched Italian guys, you know, coming through and things like that. I wonder how, what the kind of changes they went through. Anyway, that's another show, and that's a lot of research right there. Anyway. So I just want to remind everybody, you know, again, don't forget to remember the things you need to do. And I'm not trying to, I guess I am being redundant, you know, but it's helpful. Do the five. Hands, wash them often. Elbow, cough into it. COVID-19 spread through those droplets. You cough and sneeze and spit and stuff like that. It's an excellent way to spread that disease. Face, don't touch your face. Keep your hands out of your face. Clean your hands before you touch your face. Space, keep a safe distance of 6 feet from, stay at home if you can. Observe the quarantine, you know. And I hope that, you know, you guys are still here this time next year and the year after that and the year after that, you know. You know, stay with the program, do the best you can. And Q, thanks for calling in, sharing. Any listeners, thanks for listening in, tuning into the show. And until next week, you know, I want to say each one reach one, each one teach one. And heads up, black community, black brown community, stop hurting yourself, because apparently you've got enough hurt coming down in your community as it is. So we don't need that. You know, some of the stuff we're doing in the community, let's try to turn it around, and let's save our children so that they don't have to go through some of the things that we're going through right now. Till next time, peace.